Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, today is the last sermon in the series that I've been doing on the Holy Spirit, and there's so much more that I want to say, but I had to force myself to end it at some point in time. And so today is the day to end that series. And I just want us to stop a minute and pray as we continue in our worship. Father, I want to give you thanks. I want to give you thanks for over the last few weeks in a significant way, just making us more aware of this precious, wonderful gift of your very presence in us through your Holy Spirit. This part of you that is eternal and that we see at the very creation of the world, this agent through whom you have empowered your people through the ages, and we're thankful that we live in the era of the promise. Fulfilled the promise that your Messiah has come, the Lord Jesus, your Son, and that upon his return to your throne, he has sent the Spirit. And so it's not just a few who have your presence, but all of us, Lord, all of us who have called on your name, all of us who have been baptized into the Lord Jesus, all of us who have received your Spirit, we're thankful. And Father, I just pray that you would continue to fill us with your Spirit. We want to obey the command in Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit. And I pray that you would fill us, that you more and more would take control of our lives, that more and more we would surrender ourselves to you, and that you would root out the idolatry that's in our lives, that you would root out the sin that is in our lives, and that you would make us your home, and that in us, Lord, you would work, and that you would move, and you would teach us, remind us of what Jesus has said, that you would guide us into all truth, that for the common good of the church, you would give us, as you choose, gifts from your Spirit to build each other up. That we would never be selfish with your Spirit, but that we would use the power that he gives us in our life, the energy that he gives us in our life, to serve others, to live for you and to live for others. Father, help us, teach us, remind us to never quench the Spirit. We seek you. We seek your presence. We need you, Lord. We need you for every breath that we take. We need you for words to say. We need you for energy to serve. We need you for courage and boldness to speak. We need you to pour into us as we abide in you, love and joy and peace and patience, and on and on and on. Lord, I pray the prayer of Ezekiel that you would fill us with your Spirit and give us life so that we and others would know that you are God. And I pray for this in the name of our dear Savior, Jesus, whom the Spirit raised from the dead and who lives now, reigning at your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we started this series back the Sunday after Easter, I invited you that day to join me in the upper room. That's where we began, and that's where we're going to end this morning. Back in the upper room, as we look at what I have come to believe based on this study, is probably the most important reason that Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to the church. And it was in that upper room that the Spirit, the promise was fulfilled that had been made in the Old Testament, and the Spirit first poured himself out in power on all the believers. It was 120 that day. It's many more than that today that the Holy Spirit is poured out into. And it was from that upper room, after receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, that they went out, as Luke writes in Acts, to continue what Jesus began to do and to teach. They went out with power from the Holy Spirit to join in the mission of God that started with Jesus and continues with the church. Now, we talk about being disciples. We talk about being disciples who are making disciples. Just want to remind you of kind of a working definition that we use when we talk about disciples making disciples. A disciple is someone who is following Jesus. This all comes from Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Someone who is following Jesus, someone who is being changed by Jesus, and someone who is joining the mission of Jesus. That's what a disciple is in the New Testament. That's a definition that Jesus gave in that particular passage. He said, come follow me, I will make you, he's going to change us, into fishers of men. We'll join the mission of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a huge part of that. Again, I think it's the main reason that he has been sent to us, is to empower us to do this. That when we follow Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. He's a gift that's given to us. We receive him. He begins to work in our life, to live in us, and he begins to change us from the inside out. And as he changes us, and as we join Jesus in this mission that he started, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the power to do that. And so the Holy Spirit is a huge part, an integral part of our being disciples who are making disciples. And last week, I asked you a question. Last week in the sermon, we talked about your motivation. Why do you want the Holy Spirit? I'm assuming you do want the Holy Spirit. Why do you want the Holy Spirit is the question we ask. What is your motivation? And the reason I ask the question is because for most of us, if you are like me, I think about me a lot. And if we're not careful, what we will end up doing when it comes to the Holy Spirit is thinking about ourselves. And thinking about how the Holy Spirit can help us. And the Holy Spirit does come to help us. He's a helper. He does come to guide us. He is a guider. He does come to strengthen us. He's a strengthener. There's lots of things the Holy Spirit does do for us. But if we only focus on us, we will minimize the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. If we make the Holy Spirit about what he can do for me, then I will minimize the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Because God is a giver. He is a sharer. And he wants his people to be like him. And so he has given us the Holy Spirit, not ultimately for ourselves. He has given us the Holy Spirit for others. And we started with two of those others last week. As I've searched through Scripture, the thing that I see in terms of why God has given us the Holy Spirit, what are the purposes of the Spirit in our life? It's not about me. It's about other people. It starts with God. The Holy Spirit has come so that he can continue to exalt and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the only name that saves. He is the King of the universe. He is reigning at this moment. He is the one who heaven called out, is anyone worthy? And the Lamb slain was worthy. And because he accomplished the mission of God, because he came to earth and sacrificed himself, God raised him from the dead through the power of the Spirit. He has ascended back into heaven. He has sent us his very presence, the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is keep pointing back to Jesus. The Holy Spirit keeps talking about Jesus. The Holy Spirit keeps reminding us of Jesus. He keeps reminding us of what Jesus has said and what Jesus has done. And you can be sure the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. You can be sure the Holy Spirit is at work in this church and in any church if Jesus' name is being exalted and lifted up and if God is being glorified, because the Holy Spirit can't do anything other than that. So first and foremost, we have the Spirit because He will lift up the name of Jesus. The second reason I believe we have the Spirit, and again, it's not about me, it's about others, and that is for the common good of the church, the common good of the believers. That's one of the reasons that we receive the Spirit in our life, as He changes us, as He makes us less selfish, as He makes us more other focused, as a group of people gather, such as has gathered in this church, as God adds to our number, which I pray that He will continue to do, as He saves, that He will add to our number. As we come together, we are the family of God. We have been adopted through the Spirit into God's family. We are brothers and we are sisters. We are a family and we take care of each other. And we do that through the gifts that the Spirit gives us. We do that through the strength and the energy that the Spirit gives us. And He gifts this church according to His pleasure. We don't have a say in it. He knows what He's doing. And He distributes gifts, manifestations of Himself, of His power, of His energy, of His gifts, so that we can help each other, so that we can build each other up, so that we can encourage each other, so that we can strengthen each other. And so the Spirit, first and foremost, is always going to point us to Jesus and lift up Jesus. And the second thing He's going to do is He's going to work in our life so that we build each other up, and so we take care of each other, and so we encourage each other. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about others. And then I believe the Holy Spirit is given to us to focus on people in the world. He's given to us to finish the mission that Jesus started. Jesus Himself told us why He came. He said that He came to seek and to save what was lost. That's why Jesus came. And you should praise God for that, because you were among those who were lost, who didn't know the way. That's what lost is. I don't know the way. I'm not sure what to do. I don't know where to go. I need help. You were among the lost. Jesus came to seek you and to save you. And now that He has done so, He does not want your Christian life to consist only of this. This is hugely important. We gather as the family and we praise God and we lift up the name of Jesus. But we have been called to join the mission of Jesus so that others who are in the world still lost, still trying to find their way, still not sure what to do or where to go or how to go or how to do it, Jesus wants them to be saved as much as He wants you to be saved. There's not a one in the world that Jesus doesn't love, that He doesn't, with all of His heart, that He gave His very life so that they could be in a relationship with Him. And Jesus gave us His Holy Spirit so that we could finish what He started. I believe it's the main reason that the Spirit was sent into the world. I say that with the confidence of my belief as I've studied. I think it is the main reason that the Spirit was given to the church, is so that we can continue the mission that Jesus started. That just as the Spirit empowered Jesus to accomplish all that He did, and we studied that one week, the Spirit was poured out on Jesus as the Messiah like no other had ever received Him. And it was through the Spirit that Jesus was led, that he ministered, that he performed miracles, that he taught, that he endured the cross, and that he was raised to life. The Spirit empowered Jesus. Just as the Spirit empowered Jesus to accomplish the mission that his Father sent him on, so the Spirit is given to us to accomplish the mission that Jesus has sent us on. See, God sent Jesus, gave him the Spirit to do the job. Jesus sends us and gives us the Spirit to do the job. I think it's the reason that the Spirit is given to the church. There's a lot of other good things, but I think it is the reason. And I believe, again, this is Ken's belief, that the major reason we as American Christians in the American church don't experience the Holy Spirit like we read about in Scripture and like we hear about in other parts of the world is because really and truly we are not fully participating in the mission of God. Individually, most of us are not participating in the mission of God to reach the lost. And I think it's the biggest reason that we don't experience the Spirit like we see Him experienced. So we started in the upper room. I want to go back to the upper room in Acts chapter 1. And what I want us to do is see this incredibly strong connection between the giving of the Spirit to disciples and commissioning those disciples for the mission. There's a very strong connection in Acts, and as we're going to see in all four Gospels, of this connection between the Spirit being given and the commission being given at the same time. Now, when we think of the Great Commission, we think of Acts chapter 28. It's where it's written most succinctly, beautifully. We know Acts chapter 28. But every gospel has a commissioning conversation between Jesus and the disciples. We're going to look at it even in Acts. All four gospels do, Acts does. Acts chapter 1 is where we're going to start. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. And he is going to promise the Holy Spirit, and he's going to commission the disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Going to start in Jerusalem. Going to spread out into Judea and Samaria. It's eventually going to go to the ends of the earth. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to be witnesses to everybody, everywhere. Their commission, our commission as followers of Jesus, are to be witnesses, to tell people what we know about Jesus, to tell people everywhere about Jesus, to tell people anywhere about Jesus. And the power to do that, the power to accomplish that mission that Jesus has given his church, the power to do that is the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us a job, and then he gives us the power to do the job. That's exactly what he did with individuals in the Old Testament. We saw that. He would choose a person, and he would have a task for them, a specific task at a specific time, and he would give them the Holy Spirit. But not everyone had the Holy Spirit. Now all of God's people have the Holy Spirit because we've all been given this task for this time. Okay, so that's in Acts, but I want us to look through the Gospels again at this connection between the giving of the Spirit and the giving of the commission. Matthew, again, the one we know best. Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Is the Holy Spirit in that passage? Yes. Because how is Jesus with us? He's with us through the Holy Spirit living in us. He said it was even better for us that he is with us that way than if he were here in the flesh and in the blood. And so in Matthew chapter 28, the commission is given and the presence of Jesus through the Spirit is given. That connection. Let's look at Mark. The great commission in Mark is in Mark chapter 16. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. If they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Now that's a pretty amazing passage. That's a pretty amazing passage. And even though the Holy Spirit's name is not mentioned there, the Holy Spirit is in that passage because none of those things could be done by any human being. Those are things that are only done by God. And so it is God's Spirit in believers that those things would happen. And so again, I believe the Holy Spirit and the commission are given hand in hand. And sure enough, all through Acts, the very things that Jesus says in this passage will happen, do happen. All through Acts. And it happens when the disciples are joining Jesus in the mission. And when they're joining Jesus in the mission, this power is unleashed. And these kind of things happen. We'll just work through the list. And I just picked one time. These things happen many times. But in Ephesus, when the disciples were on mission for Jesus, the Holy Spirit acted and demons were cast out in Jesus' name. Just like he told them in Mark what happened. In Jerusalem, the apostles were able to speak languages they did not know so that people in the crowd could hear the gospel and understand. Just like Jesus told them would happen. On the island of Malta. Now here's the one that we go, what are you talking about? Snake handling. Because we've all seen videos of snake handling and people who say they have the spirit so they can handle rattlesnakes. I'm telling you, you separate this from the mission of Jesus and it looks crazy. But you put it within the context of the mission and not some context of a show and it works. It makes sense because we say, okay, that means in the Holy Spirit I can handle snakes. Well, it doesn't mean you go test the Lord and pick up a rattlesnake and see what's going to happen. No, it means as you're going, when things happen, God will help you and he'll protect you. And that's exactly what happened to Paul on the island of Malta. Paul was shipwrecked. He went on the island of Malta. He's gathering some wood and a snake bit him. It said it latched on to his hand. I had a friend in elementary school who a snake latched on to that little part of his hand and wouldn't let go, and he had to go to the hospital for days and days and days. You know what happened to Paul? Paul was able to shake it off and it didn't hurt him at all. God protected Paul while he was on the mission for Jesus, just like he said he would do in Mark. Now it says there you could drink a poisonous potion. I don't see that in Acts, but since Jesus said it, I think it's probably happened for somebody that he's protected them in that way while they were on the mission. Over in Lystra, a man was crippled feet was healed, just like Jesus told them would happen in Mark. All of these things happened through the power of the Holy Spirit while the disciples were following the Great Commission. Let's keep working through. Let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 24. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. There's the commission. Preach that Jesus was suffered, that he died, that he was raised. Preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Preach it to all the nations. Start where you are and move out from there and be a witness. That's the commission. And here's the power. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Again, the promise of the Spirit, the giving of the Spirit, and the giving of the commission are hand in hand, hand in glove. They go together, and don't try to do one without the other. He said, don't get out there and get started on your own. You can't do this. Wait for the Spirit. When he comes, you'll have the power to do it. Okay, John, last one. John chapter 20. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." We looked at this passage several weeks ago. This is the night of the resurrection. And Jesus appears in a room with a locked door to the disciples. And he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said, he commissioned them. He said, "As the Father sent me, now I'm sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Every place we look, when Jesus commissions his disciples, he sends them the Spirit. And he says, "I'm sending you the Spirit so you can accomplish the commission." And he said, "I'm giving you the commission and I'm giving you the power to do it." The Holy Spirit was not given for us. The Holy Spirit was given for others, to glorify God, to exalt the name of Jesus, for the common good of the church, to reach a lost world with the good, good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we reach that person in the world, the common good of the church is built up and the Lord Jesus is magnified. It works front and it works back, no matter which direction you are headed. The Holy Spirit is the fire that fuels the mission of Jesus. And it was the mission given to the apostles. It was the mission of the church in Jerusalem. It's the mission of the church around the world. And it is the mission of the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. No church of Jesus exists that doesn't have this mission given to them by God. And thanks be to God, he gives us the Spirit to empower us to do what he's asked us to do. It cannot be done without the Holy Spirit. It can't be done without the Holy Spirit. Jesus' very first churches could not do it without the Holy Spirit. This church cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. Corrie Ten Boom, you've heard me mention her before. Great, incredible woman of God who suffered through concentration camps in Germany. Came out of that. She was already a Christian, but came out of that and dedicated the rest of her life to be a witness. That's literally what she did. For the rest of her life, she was a witness to all that Jesus had done for her in her life, and especially in that camp. She traveled around the world till she was in her almost 90 years old, being a witness, doing exactly what Jesus commissioned her to do. She said this: "Trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus flows out of you." Now, I've been challenging myself. I've been challenging our staff and elders. I've been challenging us as a church for the last 4 or 5 years to take this more seriously than we have ever taken it before. To be disciples who are making disciples. I'm not going to stop challenging myself. I'm not going to stop challenging the folks I work with. And I'm not going to stop challenging you until Jesus stops challenging me. But one thing I probably haven't done, and I apologize to you for it until now, is to also talk about the power that you need to do it. I don't ever want to be the kind of preacher who motivates by guilt. I never wanted to be the father who motivates by guilt. I don't want to be a husband who motivates by guilt. I don't like being motivated by guilt, and I don't want to motivate anybody else by guilt. That's never my intention. But if I've done that, I apologize. Because it's exhausting, and it's tiresome, and it's impossible to do what Jesus has asked us to do if we don't, alongside of it, talk about and receive and ask to be filled and work in the power of the Spirit. And so I want us to do both, just like the Gospels do both. I want us to take the commission of Jesus more seriously than we have ever taken it and reach this city for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to be more aware and filled with the Spirit of God than we have ever been before. In fact, we must, if we're going to do what Jesus has called us to do. And honestly, that is the reason that I preach this series. No one has asked me this, but I've imagined that someone asked me this. Ken, now what? You talked about the Holy Spirit. What do you think's fixing to happen? What do you think God's going to do? What do you think the church is going to look like? And my answer is, with all my heart, I believe that when the Spirit is present in a church, when the Spirit is invited into a church, when the Spirit is received by a church, when a church is being filled with the Holy Spirit, that they will be on mission for Jesus. That's what I want this church to look like. That's my aim and my goal for this church, because I see it as the aim and the goal that Jesus had for his church, that we will finish, that we will continue in our lifetime until Jesus comes again or until we go to be with him, that we will continue to do the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. That's what the church did in Acts. That's what he's called us to do. That's what I want us to look like. I want us to look like a church that is full of people who are following Jesus, who are being changed by Jesus, and who are on mission with Jesus, who are bringing in more people and making them followers of Jesus, who are changed by Jesus, who are on mission with Jesus, who will just go get some more people and bring them in, who will follow Jesus and be changed by Jesus and be on mission for Jesus. And it just keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. And God keeps adding to the church all those who are being saved, and families become different places in their homes because the Spirit of God is in that home, and schools become different places because more teachers and more students and more workers are filled with the Spirit of God, and that cities become better places because the Spirit is active and alive and well in people's lives. That's what I hope for, and that's what I long for. That's what I pray for. That's why I preach this series. That's the church that I believe Jesus has called us to be. People, you really haven't. I'm thankful for that. But some people get hung up on, well, are we going to experience miracles? Are we going to experience signs? Are we going to experience wonders? And I told you last week, I'm not seeking those things. I don't think we're supposed to seek those things. I think we're supposed to seek the Spirit. We're supposed to seek the presence of God. Seek the Holy Spirit in our lives to the extent that we are abiding with Jesus, that we're experiencing the fruit of Jesus in our lives, and that we're accomplishing the mission of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit can and will do exactly what he wants to do with us. And I'm not going to put any limits on him. It's just up to him. But I fully expect that the more and the more and the more that we are on mission with Jesus, that we'll see what people in other parts of the world are seeing, that we'll see what they saw in Acts. We'll see God in power, doing the things he needs to do to help this church accomplish the mission. David Platt, he has said, I am part, and I think it's safe to say we are a part of a religious system that has developed all sorts of means and methods for doing church that in the end require little help from the Holy Spirit. We don't have to fall on our faces and cry out to God for the church to grow. We have marketing for that. We don't have to bring the crowds in through prayer. We have publicity for that. We have deceived ourselves into mistaking the presence of physical bodies in a building for spiritual vitality. I'm convinced it is dangerously possible to go through the routines and the programs and the stuff and look back and realize that the Spirit of God has been almost entirely absent and completely neglected. It may very well be that the great hindrance to the advancement of the gospel today is the attempt of the church of God to do the work of God apart from the power of God. What if it's not the self-indulgent immorality that surrounds us in our culture that is hindering the gospel? What if it's the self-sufficient mentality of the church that's hindering the gospel? A man named that was said just about a decade ago. A man named A.W. Tozer, a Christian writer in the 1950s, said this: if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would have stopped and everyone would have noticed the difference. He goes on to say, this is the tragedy and woe of the hour, that we neglect the most important one who could possibly be in our midst, the Holy Spirit of God. I just don't want us to neglect him, church. He's a gift that's been given to us. I want us to receive him and to be filled with him more and more and more. And it's his presence in our lives and in our church that will fuel us and empower us to be on mission with Jesus. And I really hope that this church will be unexplainable apart from the presence of the Spirit. I really hope folks will look and say, I know him and he's not that good of a preacher. I know them and they're not that smart. I know them and there's not that many of them. It must be God. It must be his Spirit. That's what I want. And it's happening. It's happening. Sometimes we think it has to be miraculous for it to be the Spirit. But again, he works in all kinds of ways. And I'm going to tell you, I believe anytime something good is happening in the church, it's because of the Spirit. Anytime someone is coming to the Lord Jesus, anytime someone is leading someone to the Lord Jesus, the Spirit is in that. We just need to know that and look for that. We have a group of young people in our church, college-age folks, who are taking this mission seriously, and I praise God for them. They're hearing it here. They're hearing it from Jeremy and Jenny. Most of the group I'm fixing to tell you about have been in our D groups. They're taking it seriously to be followers of Jesus, to be changed by Jesus, to join the mission of Jesus. Now, if you ask them, they would tell you, oh, I'm not doing near what I should. But I'm telling you, they're doing it. And I can't tell you all the details of this story, but when this person is baptized into Christ, we'll get to tell the whole story. But we had a group of our college age students, and again, they'd tell you they're not thinking about this often enough, but I'm telling you, they're thinking about it. It's a part of their life. And they were out at a local store, just a handful of them, and they're having a good time. They're looking at stuff and being silly in Target. I don't know what they're doing. I think they were trying on silly hats is what they were doing. And another young girl saw them, saw how much fun they were having, and she took the step to come over and say, who are y'all? Y'all are having so much fun. Are y'all, what group are y'all? And they said, well, you know, we all are part of Mustangs for Christ out of MSU. And we're just hanging out being silly. And they just began a conversation with her. You know what they found out? Like I hear is true for a huge majority of young people in this world, she was lonely. She probably had all kinds of friends on here, but realistically didn't have a lot of just flesh and blood folks in her life. And some of these kids had taken that gospel conversations class, and like I said, they've been in D groups, and they're thinking about these things, and so they invited her to join in and come along, and she's been hanging out with them. Now, I believe that's the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit was already working in her life. I know he was from things she said. He was already working in her life because he is never not working to draw people to salvation. And we want to do whatever we can do to help bring people back to God. We've talked about that. So the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was in them because they're thinking about it. And here's another place the Holy Spirit was at work. It turns out that one of the girls in that group and that young lady went to high school together. But they had lost contact. And now every week, that young lady is in a Bible study with one of the girls from M4C. I'll also tell you, it's the first time this young lady from M4C has ever done a Bible study with anybody. And she's so excited. And she's taking it so seriously. And they're using a little resource we have called Focus on Jesus that we were made aware of because Sloan was a part of Focus and because Emily is a part of Focus. And I believe with all my heart, based on the conversations I'm hearing, that that young lady, that God's about to save her, that he's been seeking and finding lost people. And he's still about the mission of saving them. And the Holy Spirit is using us. The Holy Spirit wants to use us. He is using us to do it. And so, Holy Spirit, come in this place. We've sung it many times. We're going to sing it again. Let it be, I pray, your heartfelt cry. My voice is kind of rough this morning. So if I drop out, you don't drop out. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Fill our hearts with your abundant grace. Let our tongues proclaim your praise. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Guide us, Lord, with your love. Teach us, Lord, your holy way. Fill us, Lord, with gifts from above. Let your Spirit settle in this place. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Fill our hearts with your abundant grace. Let our tongues proclaim your praise. Holy Spirit, come in this place. We are yours. Please fill us now before you, Lord. We humbly bow in this place. May your presence be as we strive your face to seek. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Fill our hearts with your abundant grace. May our tongues proclaim your praise. Holy Spirit, come in this place. All to you
freely give. In obedience I strive to live. Take my life and let it be more of you and less of me. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Fill our hearts with your abundant grace. Let our tongues proclaim your praise. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Holy Spirit.